by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass makes heaven the middle of it. Grass makes heaven the middle. We are grass makes
secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got quite a week going here, and we've got all kinds of people jumping the ship now on these investigations that are underway are going to be very, very revealing in the fact that we've got people that are wanting to swear the fifth, take the fifth. We have Rosenstein that's refusing to testify whatsoever. And he's the Associate Attorney General of the United States. Then we have a lot of people that are testifying. We have James Baker, who was head counsel to the FBI at one time, and he's giving explosive testimony, and McCabe is saying things. I mean, we've got just a plethora of different clips here from different sources that we're going to be playing this evening. But what I'm going to start off with is I'm going to give you a little bit of background on who the candidates might be in 2020. Alex Jones had one clip followed by Zach, who has been coming in periodically to give him some very, very intimate and very, very inside information. And then I'm going to move on to Lou Dobbs' clip and some other things that reveal what James Baker has been saying behind closed doors. So anyway, I'm gonna start off with Alex Jones, and he's giving us an idea of what he thinks and his inside information is. He says from really top CIA people that have been told who's going to run in 2020 against President Trump. Okay, so here we go with Alex Jones. Listen carefully.
Well, here we are, second hour, kicking it off. But get the number out, so you're taking your calls at the bottom of the hour throughout the rest of the podcast. And here's the big announcement. On multiple fronts, I know who's running for president of the Democratic Party, and I know who's already been given the nomination just like 3 years ago, and I know who Hillary's running mate is. So I said I'd get to it last night, didn't, said I'd get to it last hour, didn't, so I'm going to get to it right now. I have been told by the Secret Service, and I have been told by the CIA, and I have been told by people at Blackwater, and I have been told by people in the Democratic Party. But I have been told by people that have been there at the houses, at the meeting halls, at the facilities, the ticket now is not Joe Biden. The ticket is Hillary Clinton, because she owns the Democratic Party with George Soros. And you've heard rumors of this, and you've seen even Democrat newspapers say, well, she's looking at it, and they're saying, please don't. She doesn't care. She does what she wants. She's tone deaf. She's a power man. But guess who's going to run with her? They've already announced that Michelle Obama is looking to run. Right now, they are looking at another co-presidency. It's the way these power groups do it, where it was Bill and Hillary for two terms, then Hillary and Obama for two terms. She's been president, co-president. Even liberals admit that. They even call her Mrs. President, Madam President, in the emails going back years ago. People say, why do they call her the president? Because she's been the president, co-president. That she will then be able to serve, she believes, six terms. Six terms. Hillary and Michelle Obama. And I have been given this by the CIA. And I mean real people in the CIA. Not leftist pencil pushers and, you know, academics that all have a little card in their wallets so they can act tough and cool, you know, like the people they have testifying before Congress and making up lies. We're talking about the real people that are there. and CENTCOM, whole nine yards. It's done. Democrats are being told this is it. And you're like, wow, that doesn't sound very Democratic. Sanders won all the first primaries and won California. They gave the delegates to Hillary. Remember? They tried to do that against Trump, but we didn't stand for it. We didn't go along with it. We would not bow down to this. And so it's done. You're like, that sounds insane. It's all about divisional politics, and everything is about dividing men and women and families. And so the same job they did on the black community in the last 50 years is already being done to everybody else. And they're going to run the corpse. The brain in the bubbling jar, like Matt Drudge said a decade ago. And just like Roosevelt was in a wheelchair and super sick, but he was still the president, their belief is it doesn't matter. She can be in a wheelchair. They'll just say she isn't. You'll all see the wheelchair. And they'll say, well, that's not a wheelchair. Remember, she fell down on her face. They said she didn't fall down. Alex Jones is fake news. MSNBC actually said, Alex Jones is fake news. Look, she only stumbled. And they cut off her falling on her face and being picked up and put in the vehicle, having a convulsion. So you think about that long and hard. That's what's about to happen. And you say, well, no one will put up with that. They're killing now, not just tens of thousands of conservative sites the last few months and thousands in the last day. That's the big news on Infowars.com. But we're just used to it now. See, Congress doesn't act, so it'll get worse. They're purging all of the real liberal sites that are socially liberal on some issues, tolerant, but that are anti-war. I looked at the list, and some of these have millions of followers, 300,000 followers, 800,000 followers, Dan Dix, the filmmaker, you name it. They're all being banned, too, because they actually report objectively, and they have followings, and the establishment doesn't like that. They want full control. And so Alex Jones was a test case, suing, lie about him, demonizing for years, hundreds of thousands of articles, literally, thousands of TV programs, dozens of TV shows, Homeland, based on Alex Jones, where I'm an evil criminal, Comedy Central shows, all of it, to turn me into a demon in the eyes of the public so that I could then be destroyed, which we're in the process of doing here, so that we're all taught how it's done, and I'm the test case. I'm the test pilot. See, just like I'm the test pilot for bringing out the hardcore ideas that are real, that no one else has the courage to do, and I put myself in this position and proven I know what I'm doing. And so I'm here and I'm willing to do it because somebody's got to volunteer. I'm not saying I'm a hero here. We have no future if we don't do it. I mean, I use the cheesy Wrath of Khan analogy that the big Genesis bomb's about to go off and it's going to kill everybody on both ships because Khan's dying and he wants to kill Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. And Spock goes down on the reactor and fixes the ship because everybody's going to die if he doesn't. It's either everybody dies or I die. Now, if more of us acted like that, I wouldn't have to die. But I'll tell you right now, when I talk about death, I mean my name, my treasure, everything. Because we lose everything anyways. There's not even a thought in my mind. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm extremely honored. Because when you behave like that, that's when God opens the doors. And that's when providence raises its beautiful face. And that's when you get closer to God. And that's what's valuable. Not money, not power. No. Money, power, that's all to be used judiciously to help people. Money is only fuel to build a civilization, not to sit back with a bunch of bling. And there's nothing wrong with bling if it isn't your God. It's okay to celebrate God's providence and success, but it's not your God, and you don't shell out for it. When you don't shell out, you get all the wealth and all the power. When you do sell out, you end up losing your children and your whole world and your whole life. And there's a spirit of evil being poured out in the world right now, and there are people resonating with the evil spiritually, and there are people who are interfacing with true evil. The devil's working overtime. It's real. Everybody knows it. And we're not in normal times. We're not in normal times. And that's one of Trump's only problems, and my problem too. Because we get so set in the daily routine and we get used to the left's violence and their threats and all the horrible things they do. And then we just kind of adapt to being abused. And then when they hit us with the full dose, when they finally ramp it up, which they're doing, I think they're going to attack the next 25 days. Unless we get the word out and stop them. I know. You see the mass bomber that admits he was going to blow up the mall with 200 pounds of explosives and kill potentially thousands of people. And he's a big leftist. The media covers that up. They're activating through the propaganda, through the brainwashing, through the media, the most manipulatable, suggestible people that are now being pushed to go out and be violent and to target. Just like advertising. They know they put a certain beer commercial on, they're going to sell X amount of beer to this group.
Now, Alex is saying that Hillary is going to make a run for it. I don't think she's well enough. I think she's got some serious physical ailments. And, you know, but anyway, he's saying that she's going to be running as president, and Michelle Obama is going to be running as her vice president. So this is what Alex has been getting from the real insiders that he was talking. Now, coming up next, though, is Zach. Zach is Army intelligence, goes way back. He's connected up to the highest intelligence, you know what I mean, alliances and insights with all kinds of upper level people. And he's going to tell us what he thinks, you know, the running mate is. And he gives us an insight into Nikki Haley's recent resignation from the ambassador to the UN, the United States ambassador to the UN. So he thinks that she's going to be, in his opinion, you can listen carefully for yourself, but he thinks that she's going to be the presidential candidate with Michelle Obama or someone like that as a running mate. But okay, here we go with Alex Jones interviewing Zach, and this is the first time he's interviewed Zach in months. But Zach has been under a lot of pressure. So listen to this carefully and see what you think, and I'll make some comments at the end.
You know, I know Zach. I know who Zach is. I know he's friends with Kanye West and friends with a lot of other folks like Elon Musk, and he's also friends with Anthony Bourdain. And he's a really interesting fella, and he doesn't want to get into who he is at this point in his history and his background. It's very, very interesting and complex. And of course, Kanye's come out and said Alex Jones and Donald Trump are the ultimate matrix breakers. But everybody that goes against the grain, when the grain is evil, is a matrix breaker. And this is a very magic time to be alive right now, where humanity's at a crossroads. But I noticed I gave the number out, and Zach, who wouldn't come on the last 3-4 months because of Homeland Security harassing him and his family. And again, Trump isn't in full control of Homeland Security. I know a lot of that got shut down now, but because of the security clearances and things he's had, they really came after him. He didn't give anything secret out on the show, but they sure came after him. And, of course, Zach, he's good friends with Louis Farrakhan and a bunch of other people. I'll just leave it at that. So he's connected. And a lot of stuff's been going on to him and his family. He knows a lot of things about Libya and things that they'd rather you not know. And I'll just, again, leave it at that. But I'm glad he's the first caller to call in. Then we'll go to Kevin and Amos and Robert and everybody else. And Zach, I get you on as a guest. I looked up and noticed you've been sitting there for 14 minutes, so I appreciate you holding. And I know a lot of wild stuff's going on. I mean, you told me you'll soon see Kanye at the White House. You know, you said that the culture will speak, and you've not predicted. You know a lot of what's coming and what's going to be unfolding. And so 25 days out, my friend, from this historic crossroads election, you want to connect the dots with Nikki Haley, Michelle Obama, event, and more. So thanks for coming on.
First and foremost, it's a pleasure to be back on. I apologize for my absence. Obviously, a lot of things were going on. It's a very complex country and a very complex situation. But yes, like we predicted last year, and, you know, YouTube has done a very good job of wiping what we said last year off. But on your broadcast, I said, in resignation, in that order, Bannon will be gone. Haley will be gone. Tillerson will be gone. Sessions is next. Watch my words. And I have some information about Haley. I have some information about this. But make no mistake, I was dealing with some personal things, so I had to deal with it, but now I'm in a much better place now, and let's just say this. A very big event is being planned, and there's going to be some speakers. Alex Jones is going to be a speaker. Roseanne Barr is going to be a speaker. Louis Farrakhan is going to be a speaker. Kanye West is going to be a speaker. And I can guarantee that.
Well, now you're letting the cat out of the bag, man.
Oh, listen.
Hey, I know. They try to stop Kanye this time, because obviously he was coming here to the office, and they went crazy. I'll go ahead and release all this. Why are you releasing all this right now?
Because it has to
happen. By the way, I was about to say, why didn't you just call Daria or the producers? We'd have put you on Skype, better audio. I mean, you could have called here if you wanted to come on.
I know. A lot of things are happening, and this is what's going to occur. This is what's going to occur. If we want to do the reveal right now, I'll do the reveal right now. We could do the full.
Is that the
right
best
now.
Thing, Zach? Because usually you hold back. Maybe we shouldn't do the reveal. Let's hold up till we talk today, okay?
Okay. We'll do the reveal right there. Okay. But just make no mistake, folks. Like we said last year, or earlier this year, rather, culture will speak. And notice as Kanye used the term Chirac, and maybe a lot of these listeners don't understand what that means. But that's about culture, that's about Mingos, that's about rap. Culture will speak, and culture did speak. And there was a lot of things behind the scenes that were occurring at the White House that I was very proud to see, that I had a lot to do with, that a lot of people I knew had a lot to do with, and we're very proud of it. We're very happy about it. What we're not happy about is the attack on Elon Musk. What we're not happy about is the attack on Alex Jones. It's an absolute disgrace in this country. It will be addressed, and quite frankly, what it might be.
Well, I was told separately by the CIA and the Pentagon in person and over the phone that Trump is that don't worry, they're gonna pay.
Well, there's no don't worry. I think what it's doing is exposing sort of an error in the system of corporatism, an error in the like sort of system of economic advertising, meaning we can make our own revenue. We could generate our own bandwidth. We could have our own reach. We don't need them.
I agree, but let's get to Nikki Haley, because that's what's really important. I was told, not just by you, but others, that she's the mole, and that Trump let her go in a nice way, but that she was, and you did say that last year first.
I got the clip saved. I got it on the hard drive. I told you, Haley. I told you about Haley last year. She's a snake in the grass. She's a UN creature. And it's not going to be Hillary. Hillary will be there in essence. She'll be there to promote. She'll be on the podium. But it's going to be Michelle O.P., Nikki Haley running as vice. And that's what they're going to try to run.
Okay, well, I was told by some really high-level people that is in the works exactly. In fact, Roger Stone said that on air a year ago, that she's the snake in the grass and that she's going to run. And that's what the left loves her. And that is in the cards. But and there's about Condoleezza Rice running as a Republican, or maybe even a Pence in there with Trump. I mean, who knows? But high-level folks that have been in the meetings, unless they're putting out disinfo to fool the guys that are in the meetings, they're saying Hillary won't step down, refuses to, and that Michelle O is going to be VP.
No, they won't let her do it because of what's been revealed about Bernie. What's been revealed about Bernie, and I implore individuals, first of all, I've had some conversations out there in those hills out there in Calabasas with Joe Rogan about having you back on. But when he had Roseanne Barr on, and I implore people to listen to that, a lot of things were revealed. And what was done to Bernie Sanders, the true DNC members who happen to be actual Democrats, who happen to be progressives, like they're actually progressives. They actually believe it. They're not happy about what occurred. And
well, he publicly won the nomination and they stole it.
Publicly won it, and they're not going to let her do a damn thing. And here's the big point. Oh my God, we could talk for hours, but here's the big point. We have Kanye and Jim Brown, two of the most iconic African American individuals in the Oval Office, talking to the President of the United States of America. Here's my question: where's the response from Barack Hussein? Where are you at? Oh, we know where you're at.
Can you believe they're calling Kanye all these racist names, a minstrel, a dumb Negro? I mean, I'm just outraged. It's sick to watch real racism and saying, oh, that's a dumb black man. He doesn't know anything. He's mentally ill. This is crazy.
It's smarter because the Q community and this whole phenomenon, this whole problem, which is a farce and it got really ran out of control, but they were calling for tribunals early and this and this and this. You can't do that early because it causes chaos. You need to do it gradually. And what you're seeing is a gradual dismantling of the Democratic Party and the corrupt nature of the United States government that has been alive since about the 40s. And it's being done brilliantly. And what occurred in the Oval Office with Kanye West and Jim Brown was spectacular. It was very important, was a critical part. The event that I'm putting together, the event that will shock the world, the event that will cause headlines for weeks, will also do that. And the type of stuff that we saw in the Oval Office will continue because the dialogue needs to continue. We are Americans. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you think happened. I don't care what. There's never been a better model, ever, anywhere. So.
I know I got loaded phone lines, but then I'm going to get there, buddy. But to do a few more minutes, Zach, because I wish you'd have called in on Skype. And then we were going to talk at 2 briefly, and then I've got a big special report coming up, and I'll talk to you after that. But. And what he's saying is going on behind the scenes, and I trust Zach because he usually holds pretty close to the vest. So I got to talk to you during the break if we can patch him through. I want to find out why in the world he's saying this on air. Because in my experience, that's not – well, we're going to find out what's going on. We'll be right back. But just finishing up, I know we're winning. The country's coming back. And this whole Democrat Party is being dismantled because they're a criminal group, allied with Chi-Coms. Now it's everything we talked about years ago is now all over the news. The secret chips from China, Tim Cook, Apple, Google moving over there. The Pentagon is summoning Google next week, you know, to try to read the Riot Act to them. The fact that they already did this, you can't ever let them back into anything. They're criminals. They're censoring Americans. They're it isn't 800 conservative sites that were banned off Facebook and Twitter together yesterday. Now we're learning it's thousands and thousands. With tens of millions of followers, you know, total or more. Some have millions of followers apiece. They're really making a serious criminal move. 25 days out, they busted this guy with a 200-pound bomb that was going to blow stuff up because he's a Democrat. They've got the editor of Raw Story saying, you know, Scalise deserved it. We're defending ourselves. You've got the former attorney general saying we need to kick them. We need to attack conservatives. You've got Antifa blocking roads all over the country trying to get run over, trying to have another Charlottesville. So all I'm saying, Zach, is you say big event. I think they know they're exponentially losing. I don't think they even want this election to happen. And they admittedly were going to try to have this bombing and others to suspend the election and then claim it's Trump's fault. So just give us from your perspective and your sources and some of the people, some of the generals I know that you talked to that authorized you to come on the show. What are they thinking is going to be pulled? Because if we don't see there's about to be a big leftist attack.
Here's the thing. This is why I haven't been on. This is why the show on your platforms have been canceled, because we compile the timeline. What happened to Gaddafi? What happened at Vegas? What all these things that are unsolved that we cover, that InfoWars covers, with impeccable integrity, with impeccable journalistic integrity. What happened to those things? Oh, they just go unsolved, and then the next thing happens. The next thing happens. Let me tell you something. You're not going to stop us now because we have enough capital now. We have enough integrity now. We have a president in the White House now that's not going to allow us to be stopped. Free market will thrive in this country. We do not need your platforms. If you want to deplatform us, great. We'll make our own platform.
No, I agree. But what do you make of them now not even calling it fake news, just not even claiming they did violations? With me, they claim violations. They just go, thousands of major newspapers and magazines and Michelle Malkin and everybody else, you're just totally banned with millions of followers apiece because we say you're spam. We don't like your politics.
Oh, good. I got some keywords for them. I got some keywords for them real quick. What's up with Huma Abedin and Lindsey Graham? Look at that footage. Oops. People forgot about that. Go ahead and Google that. Now people Googling that. Good. You do not want me back on the platform. I'm telling you. These people are not playing with us. They're not playing with us, and we're not playing with them. We are in a full-out war, and we're going to win the war.
I agree, but doesn't it show how desperate they are, Zach, that they were planning to still do this incrementally over the next few years?
They're desperate, but they're weak. I know. I listen. Sometimes my little nephew gets desperate, but I'm like, calm down, buddy. Calm down. Calm down. They're desperate, but they're weak. They will not win. We will prevail. Culture will speak, and you will not stop us. And what we have
planned. Well, I think they figured that out now. Zach, I think they figured that out now, but they're not going to give up. So At a certain point, I believe in our free market and I believe in due process. They're an outside group with Chi-Com funding attacking us. At a certain point, we're in dereliction of duty. If we don't tell the president, it's time to just deal with these people.
President knows. President knows. We're behind the scenes at FEMCOM. We know what's going on. Listen, there's channels. There's communication. It's strategic. It's happening slowly. It seems weird, and it's unfair right now. It is unfair right now, but make no mistake, in the end, we will prevail. And at the very end of the day, we're going to create even more capital. So if they want to try to hold something over our head, good luck, because you're not going to do nothing. You're not holding nothing over our head. Nothing over our head.
Haven't they figured out yet that like a game of chicken, we're not blinking, and that they don't make it out of this? I mean, there's no scenario where the globalists win now. I mean, they're
exactly.
done.
And I'm going to end with this. I know you have other callers and a show to do here, but what we also have, and I have to just drop this in, we might have to schedule another appearance for me, and I'll do the whole thing. But we have Trump talking about Space Force and continuing to talk about Space Force. But what people aren't talking about, because it gets buried by political sort of counterculture, pop culture stuff, what happened over the skies of China?
Oh, yeah, put up that incredible image.
You have a hypersonic nuclear weapon, which is pre-orbit. Oh, no big deal. No big deal. Oh, yeah, there's no space war. No big deal. Are you guys out of your mind? You're more worried about Kanye wearing the hat, which is great, which culturally we're going to do it. We're going to make things happen, and that's how we have to do things on the ground. But make no mistake, within the continuity of government, there is actual things occurring, period. Technologically, things are occurring, and they want to demonize Elon Musk and bury him and bury the Dow and do all this stuff because he talks his mind, speaks his mind. He's a genius. Stop hating on people.
Well,
stop.
I mean, he was exposing the AI gods and the globalist takeover plan, so he had to be punished. Listen, when I'm off the air, Zach, I'll call you right away. God bless. We appreciate you coming on. But, yeah, get into what that was that went off last night. I've seen the famous footage in Trinity and beyond, where they're detonating atomic weapons in the atmosphere, and that
not good, not good. Pre-orbit too. So call me, hey, call me when the show's over. We'll talk, and I will. I promise an appearance. And you know what? We'll do the full reveal because at this point, who cares? I'm all in. I'm all in.
Well, God bless you. I'll call you after the show.
Zach has also given us over the years, he's been coming on the Alex Jones Show for about 2 years, and I've been monitoring those discussions with Alex, and he really is someone to pay attention to when he speaks. But coming up next would be Lou Dobbs, and he's interviewing Representative Gohmert, and it's about Rosenstein's refusal to testify this coming week. And, I mean, my gosh, what's going on? His refusal to testify here just late, I should say. But anyway, here's Lou Dobbs, and he's just a fine individual. Listen to him carefully. He's just a great guy. He's a stand-up guy for truth, that's for sure.
Joining me now, Congressman Louis Gohmert. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee, the Republican Study Committee, the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, always good to have you here.
Great
Let's
to be
start.
With you.
Let's start with your friend, Rod Rosenstein. He is now subpoenaed. He's the target of the House. After all these months of delay and stonewalling congressional oversight, finally your leaders are getting, I guess, upset enough to actually assert their absolute authority. I guess that's what it is, in oversight over the Justice Department. The Justice Department has told you all to go to hell time and time again. Why getting mad only now? I know you've been angry for quite a time.
Yeah, some of us have been, and you've been leading the cheers on that, and appropriately. But I'm just glad somebody is joining us and being upset that will allow us to do something. If you remember, Lois Lerner, Koskinen, Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch, we've had so many people come up here, Hillary Clinton, and lie. And like you were talking with Andy Biggs a moment ago, I mean, until somebody is held accountable on these things, they're going to keep doing it. And I believe Rosenstein came up here and lied to Congress, and he needs to be held accountable for that. But you know what? It ain't going to be Mueller that does the investigation. It's going to take a special counsel to investigate Rosenstein. And when we do subpoena him, and let's face it, he has been obstructing the investigation into what went on for a long, long time. But, of course, he and Mueller, Weissman, a number of them were involved in the previous Russia investigation. Right. Mueller needs to be investigating himself and Rosenstein, but that doesn't work out so well. We need somebody else to look into him. But in the meantime, what can we do? We should be holding people in contempt for refusing to produce the things that we've been asking for and been what I think is much more than patient. And as I found out when I was a felony judge, you put one judge, you put one lawyer in jail for even one day for contempt of court, the rest of them come along pretty nicely after that.
It improves their attitude, does it?
It's a real good attitude adjustment. People go, wow, this judge really means business. And that's what Congress needs to do, or we're going to keep having these games played. And I know, and Jim Jordan has talked about that. They're playing a game of hoping to get beyond the election. The Democrats take over, and any crimes they may have committed in the Justice Department may be able to go away. But we cannot let that happen. This is too important. And by the way, you brought up the speaker race. I saw that Kevin McCarthy, Majority Leader, had filed a bill to build the wall. We've been pushing for that for 2 years. We've been trying to get amendments to the floor for a vote. Andy Biggs, in fact, that you just had on, has had a bill that he filed to pay for all of the wall. And so I'm glad to hear that our leadership, our elected leadership, is coming along and getting on board with Andy and a lot of the rest of us now.
When you say
that's nice to see, even though we will not have a vote before now in the election. To file a bill like that now.
You know, and he, you know, he is Paul Ryan's cohort. He is also, you know, a lot of people missed what your speaker said after he had made, Kevin McCarthy had made his announcement about the bill for the border wall funding. He said there'll be quite a fight after the midterms. You know, there's a level
this,
of silliness on the leadership of your conference that I can't even begin to comprehend.
Well, you've been talking about it for at least 2 years. You've been leading on pointing that out. But I can promise you this, just based on my years here and seeing things put off to December year after year after year, everything we put into December from September, every time there has not been a fight, it's been a massive rollover and give the Democrats and the Democrats in the Senate whatever they want. That's what's happened every year. And I kind of think there won't be much more of a fight now. That's why they put it off to December. I personally think the best Christmas present we could give Americans is to be here fighting against the stuff they sent us here to fight on Christmas Day. What a great present, because
it's
then we wouldn't be rolling over for the Democrats and the Senate overnight. Over.
You're exactly right. We're out of time, but I have to say it's in Texas, I believe the expression is, it's a hell of a note that the guy talking about a fight is the guy who resigned his job 8 months ago and is still in the office. You know, that's also a hell of a note. Congressman, great to see you. We've got to run,
Congressman. And it's one heck of a note that the guy Mueller, the people he's prosecuting, we didn't even need special counsel to do that. We could have had a U.S. attorney do all of that.
Congressman, I appreciate you being with
us. Great to visit with you, Lou.
Good to see you.
These representatives must be admired and respected for what they're trying to do. The Justice Department under Rosenstein has been stonewalling them about giving them the documents that they should have had a year and a half, 2 years ago in some cases, or in the last few months for sure. But anyway, it's going on and on and on, and I don't know exactly where it's going to end up. I mean, there's different factions here that are fighting, okay? And at that first clip, they're in between Alex and Zach later on the second clip, they're sort of laying it out as to who is behind some of this stuff. Now, what's coming up next is a very, very interesting clip, okay, that I picked up. And it's George Webb. Now, let me tell you about George Webb. His background was heavily into high tech, okay? Well, so he's been in sales a lot, but he has quite a bit of experience with some of these players that have just recently appeared on this Blase Ford controversy with Judge Kavanaugh. So he's really he goes around Washington D.C. in the general area, and he uses what he calls metadata approach, where he'll go out and geographically stand in front of a building where he's talking about some of the institutions or offices or companies inside that building and how they all office together and how they're all connected physically, I mean, on site, you know. But he's hard to follow sometimes because he does throw out quite a few names and tries to link them together, and he doesn't always have absolute proof on this. So he knows that he's conjecturing up at times some of the information, but there's a high probability that what he's saying is fairly accurate. I won't say absolutely accurate because it's hard to prove this stuff. He's been studying this for a long time, and he's coming this recent limousine crash, and he's tying that together with some of these other individual players in Washington. Well, they built just a tremendously large machine up there, and it's gotten more and more corrupt all the time. And that's what's really frustrating with this, is that we're just seeing a total build down and destruction of our government and of our way of life and our principles. So anyway, he gives us some information about how he believes that the Democrats are going to cheat on this up-and-coming election. So listen to this carefully and see what you think. I'll make some comments after we play this. Thank you for listening.
Okay. So anyway, the topics I think are going to be important are this connection between the limo company, that I made some connections with the Awans. And this guy, if you go back, remember our Charlie's Angels, our three Charlie's Angels. And I think the Charlie's Angels are still coming back to do their magic on the American people. They've known each other for 30 years, our three Charlie's Angels. You know Christine Blase Ford because she testified for days, right? Or at least a day. You're gonna know Julie Swetnick. You might have seen her on that one interview with the gal from NBC News. And the third person you don't know yet, but her name is Monica McLean. And they've known each other for 30 years, and they can all vouch for each other's stories, no matter what stories they think up. No matter what stories they think up. Now, the key person that Monica McLean has been working with since the year 2000, I believe. Now, the court records only go back to 2008, right? But I believe since 1998, when this whole thing got kicked off, when they were going to start bringing in the Pakistani kids to kind of augment the Russians especially up at the State House in Albany. They layered in these Pakistani folks, and one of the guys named Hussein, the guy who owns this Prestige limo, right? And they were going to have these girls being driven around, the Russian girls being driven around. The limos have the cameras in them, right? And they're going to bring in the famous people, and they're going to do judges, they're going to do politicians and so forth. Things like Chris Collins and so forth. They're going to try to get those people to be compromised. Thank you very much, Mark. Awesome. Walk away from D.C. 2 weeks now? No. This is going to be the fun part coming in here toward the end. So, the bottom line is there is this connection between our three Charlie's Angels and this guy who owns this Prestige limo. And it turns out there's going to be this connection, I believe, to Nexium. Now, Nexium, I don't know where Nexium is headquartered. Maybe someone who's out there in the land can tell me where the headquarters of Nexium is. But I was told by somebody who lives in Albany that Nexium is in very close. The headquarters of Nexium is close. Yeah, I want to know exactly what city. The headquarters of
Colony.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you very much. That's very nice. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, I love Orange Super Chat. That's really good. Thank you. It's in Colony, New York. And if you go back more than a year, go back, well, about 18 months now, Colony, New York is where they had the depleted uranium factory. Colony, New York is where they had the radiation with the alpha particles from the depleted uranium. And she moved that in Colony, New York when she was a senator. Hillary Clinton, about 2004, moved that plant to Pakistan. Okay? So the whole idea, even before she left the White House, was to start moving New York businesses to Pakistan to start building resources for the future for her run into the year 2000. In 1998 or 97, when this kid from Rhode Island said we had this boat meeting, on that meeting on Block Island, again, Thomas Paine, hopefully he'll come out with a story on this, but Schumer is on the boat, JFK Jr. is on the boat, Anthony Weiner's on the boat, Bill Clinton's on the boat, Hillary's on the boat, and Huma Abedin is on the boat. And they're planning their strategy for the next 3 years. Schumer says, I'm going to leave being a House representative. I'm going to run for senator. I'm going to put my protege, Anthony Weiner, Mr. Mossad guy that I like, I'm going to put him in. Yes, okay, NXIVM is 21 miles from the limo incident. See, and I think NXIVM, though, I don't know how far Colony is from Ganesvoort, or Gansvoort, Gansevoort, but Gansvoort is where this Hassan lived. I believe his name is Shahid, Shahed, Shahid Sahan, Hassan. But he lived about 12 or 20 miles north of Albany, and that was where he was based. There's also a, I don't know how far Colony is from Gansvoort, but it doesn't matter. It's all within, you know, like a 20-minute drive. But a key part of this in controlling the state legislature and so forth is EPA. So I need somebody who lives in Colony to say, hey, we got to shut this thing down, EPA. Once I get the EPA to shut it down, now I can move it overseas. That's the key, right? So the initial target by Hillary in 1998 is what I'm saying. When Andrew McCabe moved up there and started the hacking operation at Chappaqua, the original attack was the State House in Albany and these weapons manufacturing places around Albany. And the NXIVM thing, it would be interesting to see when NXIVM started, but I think it goes all the way back to the Bronfmans and so forth. And here's the key thing I wanted to say about the NXIVM.
1998
is when NXIVM started, right? Yeah, 1998. It was a Russian compromise operation from the very beginning. When Andy McCabe started NXIVM, it's not a sex cult. I know how hard that is going to be for people to believe, but it's not a sex cult. It is a compromise operation that was started by Andy McCabe for Hillary Clinton, for going after the State House. She maybe was thinking about running for governor in New York in 1998, but she had not made the decision to go for Senate. But I believe the group, that what you see about NXIVM with all the tattoos and all that stuff is Oak Ridge University stuff. It's like, well, it's about nuclear stuff and heavenly deceptions, okay, in this case. This is Missouri Business School stuff. It's okay. And one of the girls, or the ladies, that did the story about NXIVM was this L. Reeve from University of Missouri. And she just did this thing with this guy named Parlato. Parlato. And she did this story, and they didn't do it in upstate New York. I don't know where Parlato lives, but there's supposed to be this big fight between Parlato and this cult leader, right? Whatever his name is supposed to be. And they're really playing it up like it's a cult. It's not a cult. It's a compromise operation. And the prestige limo was the limo this was the operation. Now, I'm not saying they didn't recruit girls. There's a heavy pressure on these organizations that are compromised organizations to recruit the girls. But I believe that NXIVM and the limo company were like this. Prestige limos all over. I've been to, you can go back and look at my Albany stuff. They were like this, and they worked together. And so it's a little bit of a throw to say that the cult thing. And now you notice that the leader of the cult and also the famous actress gal, they're charged but they haven't been sentenced, right? They're going to push the sentencing till after the election because you're allowed to. You're allowed to. Frank Parlato, yeah. You're allowed to move the election. You're allowed to do anything you want if it has anything to do with nuclear. You know, it's just like, you know, we can't have people knowing about nuclear. And this whole heavenly deception about nuclear has gone on since Oak Ridge, since they established these Oak Ridge universities in 1945. I think it was even before that, because Oak Ridge was a town, a secret town, right? Ruth, you need to talk to me. Okay. All right. Why don't you give me a coded word? Are you in Albany, Ruth? Because somebody sent me a thing from Albany saying Prestige Limo's all over Albany, and then the other thing they said was, it's not a perdition. That's pretty funny. Tom Hanks, it makes me think of Tom Hanks. That's the key link, is that these three girls, again, the three Charlie's Angels, right? The one you know, Christine Blasey Ford, the one you kind of know, which is Julie Swetnick, right? And the third one that you haven't heard of yet, this Monica McLean, the key operation, they had been working this operation with Andy McCabe since 1998, okay? Now, they may have been just high school girls doing a very small piece of this, right? And then they grew up with McCabe and Hillary doing these kind of deception operations. But I'm just going to say it's the same players over and over again. Who changes the players? Who has an Ocean's 11 and an Ocean's 12? You know, you don't get to Ocean's 11 to Ocean's 12. I mean, they had to go through a big process to add that 12th girl, right, in Ocean, when they went from Ocean's 11 to Ocean's 12. That was a big thing. And same thing with going to Ocean's 13. They add these people very sparingly. It's called reading somebody into the program, right? And the players all know each other, and they all, like, you know, it's like Seth Rich at summer camp at Wisconsin school play summer camp. Hey, what are you? Oh, I'm the guy who's going to protest against the pipeline this time. I'm going to be the college professor that gives money to the local charities. Oh, okay, you're going to do that one. Am I going to be the mean guy from the oil company? Yeah, I'm going to be the mean guy from the oil company, et cetera. And they needed to do this, these straw buyers kind of thing, or straw school play, if you will, back in the days when they needed to acquire a whole bunch of land for the nuclear programs, but they couldn't come out and say, hey, we're going to have, you know, hundreds of thousands of centrifuges here, and it's going to be a, you know, key nuclear development site. No, they have to say, well, we're doing a, you know, water purification factory, or we're doing a whatever. And I think a lot of these programs that Hillary has run since the beginning of her career have been in this kind of Oak Ridge type cover. The green energy project that John Podesta is running in Yunus, New Mexico, which was then later the National Enrichment Center. You know, he supposedly discovered some kind of algae that was going to power this green energy forever, you know, almost a perpetual motion machine. I can't remember the name of it. It was called Joule. Yeah, Joule Energy. I don't really think that was what it was. Now, was it a thorium reactor? Was it a thorium molten salt reactor? I think it was. And I think once they perfect thorium molten salt, for instance, which came from Oak Ridge, they're going to then use the EPA and say, okay, we have to shut down all these uranium reactors. We have to go to thorium. But first, let's make sure Nate Rothschild and Oleg Deripaska corner the market in thorium. You know, even though it's much more plentiful, but you get what I'm saying is we want to get rid of our uranium assets and move to thorium before we make the cutover. Right. And in order to do that, you have to control EPA. You cannot be pulling regulations back. Right. You can't be taking down American businesses with the EPA if you don't control the EPA. So this is why this election is so important. It's why I think they're probably going to run I think the only real credible candidate is Michelle Obama, and I think she'll quit this first day she wins, and whoever they put in as vice president will take over. But I just they need that impeachment so bad that they floated that plane up here. The timing of the plane, I think, is everything. It's Air Force One. We're in charge here. Everybody, this is a massive, this is going to be the biggest election tampering ever in the history of CIA. It's going to make 2016 look like crossfire windstorm. This is going to be crossfire super duper hurricane. The big idea here is that I'm allowed to do whatever I want with Smith Mundt and tell stories in school plays to get people to think whatever they need to think to go along with the George Soros cooking the books. So look to your key states. Look to your key states that with Republican secretaries of state, and look to those people doing things that are funny, that are goofy, that don't make sense, that make them look like they're compromised. And I sort of say that's kind of the Mike Flynn behavior. You're not acting like the general that I know. What's going on? Are you compromised? What do they have on you or your kid, right?
George Webb sometimes sounds awful disconnected and so forth. You have to have some kind of a past knowledge base in your mind when you listen to George Webb, because he throws out a lot of names and different organizations and so on. But in his work, he's discovered a monumentally sized corrupt mechanism. It's like a beast that's money fed with arms dealing and drug dealing and human trafficking and so forth. And that's what really makes it so evil and everything. But I want to play one little clip. You might, some of the background noise is not very good on this, but this was right after James Baker testified, and two of the committee members are being interviewed by Fox Network. And listen carefully. I hope the sound is good enough for you to hear. Okay, here we go right now about James Baker's testimony. They couldn't specifically testify on details, but they said some very, very important things. Here we go now. And James Baker is a former counsel to the FBI, the general counsel, head counsel. So here we go now with these the James Baker clips here.
Mr. Baker, could you answer some questions for reporters? Mr. Baker, are you the subject of an FBI leak investigation? Mr. Baker, did you handle the dossier? Did you warn Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein that there was exculpatory information before he signed the final surveillance warrant? Mr. Baker, will you take our questions?
We know Bruce Orr was giving information to the FBI. We know Christopher Steele was giving information to the FBI. We also learned today that there was another source giving information directly to the FBI that dealt with the Russian investigation. So we felt that was important. There's some other good information we got on some other issues that, again, we hope this transcript will get out soon. So, I mean, the kind of information that the American people need to know, and they need to know it as soon as possible. So this was, in my mind, maybe the most informative, I think Mark would agree, the most informative and best deposition we've had yet, as far as learning new things and confirming some concerns and suspicions we had for a long time.
What Jim said is probably the most informative interview that we've had to date. Some of the things that were shared were explosive in nature. I mean, I couldn't believe that I was hearing some of the testimony that here in the United States that the DOJ and FBI were involved with based on that without sharing details. I think we did learn one other thing, and that is based on some testimony today, some of the footnotes, FISA footnotes that were in the Democrat memo were inconsistent with the testimony we heard today, which would shed light on perhaps the FBI knowing more about the potential bias and motivations behind those sharing information.
This is becoming a scandal beyond any one scandal that this United States has ever experienced. The mainline media working for the big money and Hillary and all that machine has been ignoring all of this. They're missing out then on the biggest story that's ever come down in the country and the biggest scandal. I don't know how it's going to conclude. These are big players out here that are in opposition to each other, and I really fear for the country. The Hillary bunch, though, is getting exposed more and more every day, and you can see it's incrementally coming under fire. And many of those people, individuals, McCabe and Rosenstein, and everyone else. I mean, there's a whole list of them. Are gradually exposing one another now. So we're beginning, and then James Baker's testimony, according to Representative Jordan and Representative Meadows, he said they've heard stuff there today behind closed doors that the Department of Justice and the FBI were doing that they've never heard from any other source. And this came from James Baker, who was the head counsel, attorney counsel to the FBI. So we're in the throes of a very, very diabolical upheaval of the government. And in this upheaval and this chaotic period, we're facing this midterm that's coming up on November 6th. Now, and I encourage everyone to go and vote, because it's so important this time, especially because we just can't let the Democrats get in there. They'll close down these investigations. And we need to keep the investigation going to make affect some reform in both the FBI and the Department of Justice. There are some fine FBI agents and also good attorney generals out there in different parts of the country. And we can't neglect them as being, honorable and honest people in our government. So we must take note that not all of these people, it just so happens what we're seeing now is a top level of the Department of Justice and the FBI. We're working for Hillary and that gang, Hillary's gang. And they were wiretapping just like President Trump said. They made fun of that, when he first asserted that, and it came true. We think that Admiral Rogers put Trump on to what was really going on. Head of the NSA, so that gave Trump a one-upsmanship, and he's probably been listening to them all this time. That's what we think now. But anyway, it's just a dangerous situation, and we think there might be some major event. They just busted a guy with a 200-pound bomb that was going to go out into the mall there in the Washington, D.C. mall and blow himself up and whoever else, thank goodness. They found him in time, but he had a 200-pound bomb, and there might be some other false flag that might be pulled to invoke some kind of martial law or something. I don't know, but it's getting to be a very, very dangerous situation out there, and I really fear for this country, and I love this country, and I care for this country, and I'm just very, very fearful that we might lose the liberty and freedoms that we have. The 9/11 is still out there. These last few presidential regimes, administrations have done nothing but, except for Trump, to free us from this slavery, this thought prison. You could say they've insinuated, they put together, induced into the American public ideas that are effectively imprisoning us within certain preconceived assertions and ideas. So we're imprisoned, okay, in a thought prison. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and bless each and every one of you.